is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Vasquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vasquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So, we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vasquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about the faith of the Armenian Church, about looking at life and finding relevancy in the faith that we have. Hey, it's a connection. It's a connection game. And I'm glad you're with us right now to take this next step. This is being brought to you as part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and by the cool folks at epostle.net. Solid evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Hey, if you're ready, let's take the next step. Oh, exciting times all around us. Can you tell the excitement in my voice? I gotta tell you what a week it's been since I left you last week. You remember I told you I'm heading out to Wisconsin? Susie was in the stretch limo telling me we gotta get out to that. I wish it was a stretch limo. No, I don't. Actually, it was very nice of you, Susie, to take us out there. So she took our family over to the airport and we got in the plane and we ended up in a place called Pilwaukee. No, I'm not mispronouncing Milwaukee. It's Pilwaukee. We were in Pilwaukee. It's maybe about 10, 15 miles. I don't even know if it was to the west or east of Milwaukee. We ended up in Milwaukee, landing in Milwaukee, and then we drove over to Pilwaukee. It is a beautiful, beautiful lake, and had a chance to visit with so many people. It was a family reunion on my wife's side, and like over 150 people. This is like, for us here in California, there's a town right in central California, Fresno. It's kind of like infamous, too, for being an Armenian capital, early settlement area when Armenians came to the United States following the genocide. And in Milwaukee and Racine, a little bit to the south of it, Chicago, that whole area, the Midwest, was another congregation point for Armenians. So we met a lot of Armenians that had basically settled from the early 20th century, and, well, we didn't meet those people. We met their children and their children's children and their children's children's children. It's about 150 people at this reunion. Got a chance to be out there in the Midwest, but I got so much to tell you. What an exciting week it was for Epostle. I couldn't believe it. People knew more about us than I knew. And this was really wild. I want to share that with you. First of all, let me tell you, we've got a great show for you today because we're going to be talking with somebody right from the Midwest, a priest that I got a chance to meet, and we're going to be sharing with you some of the expressions, some of the feelings that we had over there, and I think it's going to go a little bit more. Let me tell you, I got in yesterday, I'm a little bit tired, and I've got a full schedule today and tomorrow as far as parish, catching up on my parish. A dear friend I shared with you last week passed away, and the funeral's today, so we're in the middle of all this kind of stuff going on right now. Did want to at least get the podcast out and tell you that there'll be more. But today we've got a great podcast for you. And also on the Epostle front, guess what? I just found out last night that, you remember a couple weeks ago we were telling you that there was an auction item to have dinner with the Apostle crew. Yes, I mean, I'm talking about everybody. I'm not talking about just Father Voskin. I'm talking about Susie. I'm talking about Vahe, Linda, Ani, and Ken with the Apostle crew. Can you imagine that? Having dinner? Well, a dear listener, his name is Armin, he won that auction item, and this Sunday, I just found out last night, this Sunday, we're going to be meeting, and we're going to be sharing that meal together, and it is going to be catered by Madame Kuba. Madame Kuba, you heard me right, Madame Kuba. Sounds intriguing, doesn't it? You know, I'm a product of that cloak and dagger generation of the Cold War, you know, so when I hear Madame Kuba, I love that kind of mystery. And it is a mystery. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out. I found out, like you did, I'm just finding out. We're having a meal this Sunday, and it's going to be catered by Madame Kuba. So I'm looking forward to it, and if we can, we'll try to run a live mic that day, so you, the listeners of The Next Step, can be part of it as well. But if not, don't worry. I will tell you all about it next week, okay? I'm looking forward to this meal. It's going to be exciting. Again, Madame Kuba. I love the name. Doesn't it sound cool? Anyway, we'll find out all about that and share it with all of our listeners. Of course, today we've got Ani with her bubbles coming up in a few minutes, and all of the usual stuff that you've come to appreciate and love here on The Next Step, including some reflections on what's going on, especially in our lives. And I do want to start off with that. I want to tell you about this beautiful trip that we made to Milwaukee. And, you know, we even got to do some of the touristy things, like seeing the bronze fawns.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
I know, it's dating us. You're saying, like, what are you talking about? Fonzie. Who remembers the Fonz, you know? Today you see Henry Winkler selling life insurance or some kind of senior services or something. Well, Henry Winkler used to be the Fonz, and there it was. We were in Milwaukee and Laverne and Shirley, the big breweries were all around. Happy Days. You know, all kinds of fun stuff. Anyway, there he was, the Fonz. In bronze, and nobody was around. So we went, we took a picture with this statue right across. I had a chance to have a brew with my boys at one of the microbreweries. It was called Rock Bottom. That's a special name for me, too, because I go back to the Felix the Cat generation, too. Anyway, that was fun. A lot of good times over there. But I do want to share with you some of the things that happened on the Apostle scale, because there was a phenomena that happened, okay? Sunday, after the reunion, Sunday we went to church. We went to a church called St. John the Baptist Church. And the dear priest over there, Father Nodek, had invited me to give the sermon there that Sunday. He had also invited Father Saha Kashian to celebrate the Divine Liturgy. And I've always found this fascinating. Father Sahag happens to be my wife's first cousin. And it's interesting because my wife's mother, my mother-in-law, and Father Sahag's father were twins, okay? Or are twins, excuse me. They're twins. And so these twins have children. One child is a priest, the other child is a Yeretskin. And this comes from a generation that wasn't supposed to be here because these are people that came after the genocide and settled. So basically, when you talk about miracles, I always point to these giant miracles. When the Turk tells you that there's going to be only one surviving Armenian, and that Armenian we're going to place in a museum so people will remember what that is as they start off this plan of genocide. I mean, what greater miracle of resurrection do you need that not only did they survive, but you've got the children of the children who become priests, who become servants of the church and are serving. This to me is the miracle of resurrection happening in our lifetime, in our sight. You know, and it's up to us to embrace that resurrection, that miracle. And that was the message that I had to speak on Sunday, offering this sermon. Now, before the sermon, Father Nodek gets up, and he's going to introduce me. Mind blower. He gets up and now there's a man that I met that morning, Sunday morning. And he starts telling the congregation things that I didn't even know. Well, I did know, but I've forgotten. I remembered, like, life back in the window days, 1990s. We put together this publication called Window, an analysis of the Armenian church and what's going on with it. I mean, you're talking like 20 years ago. And we covered the movement of the Armenian church during some very, very difficult times. The transition from a Catholicos, the transition into free Armenia. A lot of exciting stuff. And you know what? I'll make a note right now. Make sure that we put a link in our show notes to some of the archives that we have online so you could check it out. It's a fascinating time in the Armenian church, and this was all documented because of this publication called Window. Those of you who have been listening to The Next Step know we've had in the past my dear friend Dr. Harash Chilingerian, who is in London right now, and he was the co-editor on that project. And this information is always something that you'd be surprised how many requests we get annually for articles and information from that period, and we're very proud and honored to be able to offer that. So Father Nadek gets up in front of the congregation and he remembers that. Then here it is, ready? He talks about SANE. Now, those of you who have corresponded with me know that that is my email address. It's at sane.org. Did you know that SANE, St. Andrew Information Network, it was an acronym, SANE, S-A-I-N, St. Andrew Information Network. St. Andrew being the first called, in other words, the one who receives the calling of Jesus. I thought it would be beautiful to dedicate this first Armenian bulletin board system to that to my patron saint, Saint Andrew. And so we established that. And little did I realize at the time, what an explosion. This was pre-internet. So actually, when I registered the domain, believe it or not, yes, I made a blunder. I registered SAIN.org, never thinking that this was going to be, that there would be opportunities to have all kinds of names. And I didn't add the T at the end to make it saint.org. I mean, that would have been wild to have saint.com, saint.org. Anyway, I got sane.org, and that was the domain. But before the domains were popular, we're talking about late 1980s, we had a bulletin board system. And bulletin board basically was a text-based information network where we passed along information about Orthodoxy, about the Armenian Church, about Armenia. And Father Nadek, he told his congregation, and he told me actually, that at that time in the late 1980s, he would log in. He would log in with a modem. And this is one of those devices. The modem is one of those devices that you just don't see anymore. It's in your computers. I mean, we all operate with modems. It's just transparent right now. But used to be a giant machine where you'd actually take your phone receiver, if you remember what a phone looked like, and you'd take that receiver and you'd clamp it in there, and it would couple and it would make some noises like psh, and then it would just stop. And then you'd know that the information was being transferred. So we used to go through this procedure, and we'd share information with the world, and it was just beautiful. I was very humbled. I was honored to be introduced to the congregation in such a manner, but at the same time, it emphasized how important this work is. How important this work is, because you really don't know. I mean, I've shared with you in the past, we've had listeners from all over the world, but you really realize at moments like this that you are one community, that you're basically creating this virtual church, this opportunity for people to come together from all different parts of the world. And of course, that's very exciting. But at the same time, I'm cautious. Whenever we talk in these terms, I'm very cautious because, you know, we've talked about this many times, the importance of touch, the importance of being able to reach out to somebody and embrace somebody, how important it is to touch in the Christian community. In other words, you can't just sit by and think of the church or Christianity as a bunch of rules and regulations. There is no such thing as a Christian who sits and reads the Bible and that's the extent of it. You can't be a Christian by reading reading the Bible alone. You need to engage in community. You need to have opportunities where you can explore your faith. And I'm going to use this word liberally, to test your faith, to make sure that that faith is working. It is reaching the challenges and the difficulties that you face in life. It's not just something that exists in a vacuum, but is very much just the opposite. It exists in this interaction of people. So I'm very cautious whenever we talk about apostle to make sure that there is an element of action, empathy. There has to be some empathy involved in this. That's the Christian community coming out and sharing its love. This is the whole idea of in his shoes. So we talk about apostle, but there is that philosophy of in his shoes, to be empathetic enough to feel the other person's pain and to not only suffer with that person, but to help out, to walk with that person and help out with your prayers, with your presence. So it's an all encompassing and a faith, and that's what we identify as armadoxy. And let me tell you this privately, personally, and those of you who have been listening will appreciate this. It was never more clear than it was this week that we have to spend some serious time in documenting what we are doing through apostle, through in issues, and armadoxy, this whole thing. And in documenting, I mean that we do need to write this down. You think about what's been going on right now. We are putting together technology. We're putting together the faith. We're making the faith accessible. There are so many different dimensions to it. And sometimes it gets confusing. I run into this all the time, the confusion factor of like, where do we look for certain things? But it's out there. It just needs some organization. I know Vahe has been doing some work on our website, and it's going to be, we're looking forward to meeting with them this week actually to discuss some of the plans on how to put this all together. But I'm throwing this out also because a lot of times I find people who want to get involved and say, hey, how can I help out? I may not be able to write a check. Well, can you transcribe? You know, transcribing a sermon, transcribing a podcast. It sounds easy. It's difficult. It's labor intense. You need to listen. You need to be able to be a fast typer, but it is essential if we're going to be moving this forward. So let me throw that out too. If you're interested in helping out, you feel like transcribing a podcast, you have a secretary who needs some extra work. I'm serious about this, you know? Turn them on to the next step and say, hey, transcribe this and send us the transcription. That would be wonderful, wonderful help that you could bring to this effort that we're doing over here. Now, I told you about Father Nodick. When we come back after the song of the day, I interviewed him. Here's Father Nodick. Here is a priest out there in the Midwest, and he is a techie. Yes, these are the kind of people we like, people who put together all of this. And, I had a fascinating talk with him. We talked a little bit about technology. We also talked about the phenomena that he was telling me about. Well, we have non-Armenians serving the Armenian Orthodox faith. Now, think about that. Do you see the connection there? There it is. We've been talking about armadoxy as this faith that is beyond the Armenian people. This is the true faith. Now, how do you make that connection? Well, there we were. We were out there in a place called Greenfield, outskirts of Milwaukee, and there were people at the Armenian Divine Liturgy, the Holy Badarak, who were non-Armenian and not even related by marriage, not even an in-law relationship, but they were finding a true value in the true church, in the true faith. Can we talk about that? Are these the people that we've been looking for? Is this the prototype for where we're going with armadoxy? So this is also very, very inviting for me as far as where we're going with this ministry. And I hope it appeals to you as well. It will in a few minutes. We're going to have an interview with Father Nodick. Right now, we start off every show with a song of the day. Here's a special one I picked out from the same collection I told you about last week, from the Vahe collection. Enjoy. Thank you. Yatsa Ganatsi is the name of the song. I came and I went by. Andranik Muradi and the artist Ethnic Sketches, the name of the CD. Hope you enjoyed it. We will have a link on our show notes so you can check out, well, the artist and all of his wonderful music. I like this song in particular because of the use of the different sounds, the different ethnic instruments, Armenian instruments. You heard the tod in there, the duduk, kind of all coming together, working together, collaborating in concert to produce this beautiful sound. Hopefully that's what we're doing, right, on the next step. Kind of working in concert, trying to make sense out of it all. Well, I said a few minutes ago that I met a wonderful priest over the weekend and a very fascinating, phenomenal situation where you had non-ethnic Armenians who were not only part of the ethnic Armenian church, but were part of the worship life of the church. Uh-huh, difference, right? They're not there just for the pilav and the kebab, but they're there for for what the church stands for. And of course, that's a very important part of what we do here on Armadoxy, trying to bring it all together. And so I was very intrigued. I shared with you a few minutes ago some of the background on Father Narek Kutelian. He is the pastor of the St. John the Baptist Armenian Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin. We sat down for a few moments, and I got to warn you, it is a bit noisy. It was outdoors. We were at a lodge, and we sat down amidst the hokejosh and amidst the madal blessing, and we had a few minutes to exchange some ideas. Again, I'm going to warn you, it's a very noisy interview. And no, we are not being bombed. When you hear those planes going overhead, we're not being bombed. Anyway, let's share a few minutes with Father Narek Kutelian.
First of all, I want to introduce you to Father Narek Kutelian, the dead-eyed. Thank you very much for making this time. How about telling us a little bit about yourself and about the parish that you serve?
Thank you, dead-eyed. It was a pleasure to meet you today, and thank you for accepting our invitation to deliver today's sermon. We very much enjoyed it. It was very inspirational. As you mentioned, man, I am a pastor here at St. John the Baptist Armenian Church in Milwaukee. We're a small community. All of us here are like an extended family. Everybody knows everybody. I feel myself part of the community. I have been here for almost 26, 27 years, associated with St. John for the last 27 years, both as a parishioner. I was on parish council. I served as the chairperson of the parish council here at one time, served as a deacon, and now as a pastor.
You said it a few minutes ago, it's more like a family, and I really felt that this morning. I know that your background is you come from Beirut, but over here you have that sense of real community. How does that help you, or maybe does it work against you? Is it that too many, everybody knows each other's business? That could be a negative too, right? But I have a feeling it just helps you really do really the church work. Do you see it as a positive, a negative?
No, that's a good point. No, actually, when I said we are an extended family, we're close to each other, everybody knows everybody, I didn't mean it, everybody knows everybody's business. No. Not that way.
No, I threw that in.
Yeah. No, that's a good question, though. But no, not that way. When I say we know everybody, everybody knows everybody, we know our challenges. When we share in our joy as well as the sorrow, and the community is very helpful. And I have said this thing openly, being from Beirut, I have witnessed beautiful church services, people sang the Badarak, the Sharagans beautifully. But compared to here, I feel more inspired, uplifted attending church service here at St. John's than I did in Beirut. In Beirut, we did the Badarak, participated, it was a beautiful thing, and everybody went to their homes and nobody associated with each other afterwards in the church. But here is different. I think this is what the church is should be.
Deadhead, let's move over. I know that we shared over lunch just now some thoughts about what you do, and what many of our listeners are into is this technology, that the ability to be able to take take these sound waves and do the work of God. Can you tell me a little bit about your background, technologically speaking, and how do you see that in the role of the church? And I want to first of all thank you also for the wonderful plug you gave us today for all of our technology. So you've been following us for many years. Tell me how can we use this to further the work of God?
I think you are doing a great job there with the technology. As I mentioned in the church, I have been following your work for many, many years, way before when the internet was invented, and most, especially the younger folks, don't even know what BBS is. And that's where you started. And technology is a great thing to spread the word of God and to spread the church's teachings around the world. There are many, many people, Armenians and non. And the reason I say non-Armenians, because in our church, we have several parishioners who are not Armenians, are not married to an Armenian, they're not associated to an Armenian, and they have been attending our church very active. They too have served our church in various capacities, including as a parishioner, as parish council, as altar servers. So the technology is very important to reach out faithful who live in remote areas, I don't want to say rural areas, where there are no Armenian churches.
How about as far as like fear? I think many times people are afraid of the unknown, whatever it may be. I mean, people were afraid of God before they could understand, like through Christ. Can you address some of the fears I think a lot of times people have? Technology in the church. You know, like what? Are you going to take over the... You know, many people are doing it right now. You sit in front of a computer screen or a TV screen. You watch your television, you say, okay, I got my church. Are we killing ourselves by using this technology?
I mean, technology does not replace people going to church and praying together. I'll tell you a personal story. Many years ago when my kids were going to college, actually I called them every day, and on Sunday while I was going to church, I would call my son, make sure that he would go to a church service every Sunday, and I wanted to make sure that he attends an Orthodox church nearby and no other church. I am an Armenian Orthodox priest. Obviously, I would encourage them to go to an Orthodox church. And 2 years later, my daughter joined him in going to the same college, same dorm. And I called him again, as I always did on Sunday, and I asked my daughter if she was going to church that day. And she said, well, my brother is sick, he's not going, so therefore I'm not going to be able to go to church today either. I said, well, no, you gotta go. I encouraged her to go. And she said, how about if we do this? What if I go to his room and listen to Badarak that he downloaded from Amazon.com? I said, no, that doesn't replace going to church. But she said, you know what Jesus said when one or two or more people are gathered in my name? He said, you know, you better go to church now. I don't care how many people are gathered in that dorm room. So I think sometimes the technology really is killing figuratively speaking, kids from going to church. They think that it will be enough for them to listen to Badarak at home.
I, I appreciate that story. Let me tell my listeners right now, we're sitting outside of this lodge in Wisconsin. That's what you're hearing, the traffic going by, and there's some air traffic too. So that's what all the background noise is. Okay, phenomena is something that you don't expect and you see. I saw a phenomena this morning in your church. I had never experienced that. You said you had, there were two men at the altar serving as deacons. They were reciting the divine liturgy in Armenian, the Badarak, in Armenian. And then you told me that they're not Armenian, which I've heard because usually they're married to Armenians. You said absolutely no relations to Armenians, and yet you have them coming to your church. That is phenomenal. In other words, these people find a value in the Armenian church. Can you tell me about them and what is this phenomena that we're seeing?
It's difficult to explain that phenomena. I know David, who you saw serving on the altar today, one of the altar servers who was singing, came to our church some 26 years ago. He was Lutheran. He would be better to explain to you as to why he came to our church. He's very educated man. He has studied other churches, and one day he walked in and wanted to become a member of the church. And it just happened that I was standing with a man who used to be a jokester and asked us what would it take to become a member of the church. And this man, since he passed away, Vartan, said it takes about $100. And I couldn't believe when he said that. But of course, Dave did not mean that. He had deeper understanding of our church. Long story short, he became a member of our church. He was confirmed, actually, in our church a year or two later by their tatios. And he's been active ever since. As I mentioned, he was our parish council chairman too at one time, and it still is. He's the current parish council chairperson. He's a writer in one of the Milwaukee newspapers. A few years after that, his cousin joined us, Tom, and his father, who is 90 years old, it's hard to believe, he joined our church about maybe 9 months ago or so. And we have some other non-Armenian families who are Ukrainians. So it's difficult. You have to ask them as to why they joined our church. Obviously, they're getting something. They feel something. And when you listen to them, they can express their faith in the Armenian church much better than some of us Armenians can.
Is that? Do you think that that's because they had to work for it? That there's an appreciation rather than taking it for granted? I mean, we're born into it, and these people actually studied or they had to...
Yes, I believe they worked at it, and one of them, as I mentioned, he's a writer. He's coming up with a book. He's been working on it for the last several years. It's about the director, Rupen Mamulyan. Many of the Armenians probably never heard of Rupen Mamulyan. The book will be released in October, he told me. And I think the other reason is that our community is very welcoming to non-Armenians. People feel very comfortable. Armenians or non feel very comfortable setting foot in our community. I know I felt it that way when I joined the church some 27 years ago. I was I have no relatives here in this community. My Yereskin and I, you know, I wasn't a priest at that time, came to church one day, and whoever saw us that day, they received us with open arms. And I think the community makes a difference too in attracting new members, Armenian or non for that matter.
Well, Dad, that goes without saying. I mean, that's so important, the people, and you certainly made us feel welcome all the way from California being out here. And I want to thank you. I think it was a really beautiful day today to be able to celebrate, and with such a group of people that were open and, like I said, phenomenal, that people who understand what the Armenian Church is and are part of it because of that understanding. So thank you for making this time, and thank you for opening your church to us today.
Thank you, and as we say in Armenian, Ima jampan sorvetsar, you learned the way to Milwaukee, please come again.
And as we say in the West Coast, tuka mezra metek.
An bayman, for sure.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview. Yeah, it was a little difficult to hear. It was a noisy, noisy interview. But, you know, that's part of the apostle ministry on wheels. Yeah, when you don't have all the equipment, you make do with what you got. We don't have the soundproof studio, but we did what we could. Important part was the content. I mean, here you heard about phenomenal people who understand the faith. Now, as I was listening to the interview right now during playback, it occurred to me that, you know, some people might not get it. I mean, what do you mean you have people who come to church because they understand the faith, they get it? They might think that everybody, I mean, why else would you go to church? Well, the phenomena, I guess, is the reverse phenomena that occurs in many of the ethnic parishes, where you have many people who come for all the peripheral functioning, so sort of like we feel Armenian by being part of the Armenian Church rather than feeling Christian. And here you had some people who understood the Christian message, the very foundation, the faith of the church, and that was the drawing card. And of course, this goes back to what we're doing here at Epostle, what our ministry is all about, really extracting and saying that the Armenian Apostolic Church, the Armenian Orthodox faith, is so rich that it has the secrets from the beginning of time, the secret of how to make it in this life with the love of Christ in our heart, to be able to, well, to become ambassadors of love and to make the changes that you want in your life, in your communities, and in your world. Ani is ready now for her Bubbles for Wives, an interesting title. Let's see what she has to say.
Today's spiritual bubble is about four wives. There was once a rich merchant who had four wives. He loved his fourth wife the most, and adorned her with rich robes and treated her to delicacies. He took great care of her and gave her nothing but the best. He also loved his third wife very much. He's very proud of her and always wanted to show her off to his friends. However, the merchant is always in great fear that she may run off with other men. He also loved his second wife. She's a very considerate person, always patient, and in fact, is the merchant's confidant. Whenever the merchant is faced with problems, he always turns to his second wife, and she always helps him out and tides him through difficult times. Now, the merchant's first wife is a very loyal partner and has made great contributions in maintaining his wealth and business, as well as taking care of the household. However, the merchant did not love the first wife, and although she loved him deeply, he hardly took any notice of her. One day, the merchant fell ill. Before long, he knew that he was going to die soon. He thought of his luxurious life and told himself, "Now I have four wives with me, but when I die, I'll be alone. How lonely am I going to be?" Thus, he asked the fourth wife, "I loved you the most, endowed you with the finest clothing, and showered great care over you. Now that I am dying, will you follow me and keep me company?" "No way," replied the fourth wife, and walked away without another word. The answer cut like a sharp knife right through the merchant's heart. The sad man then asked the third wife, "I have loved you so much for all of my life. Now that I am dying, will you follow me and keep me company?" "No," replied the third wife. "Life is so good over here. I'm going to remarry when you die." The merchant's heart sank and turned to cold. He then asked the second wife, "I always turn to you for help, and you've always helped me out. And now I need your help again. When I die, will you follow me and keep me company?" "I'm sorry, I can't help you this time," replied the second wife, At the very most, I can only send you to your grave." The answer came like a bolt of thunder, and the merchant was devastated. Then a voice called out, "I'll leave with you. I'll follow you no matter where you go." The merchant looked up, and there was his first wife. She was so skinny, almost like she suffered from malnutrition. Greatly grieved, the merchant said, "I should have taken much better care of you while I could have." The story goes that we all actually have four wives in our lives. The fourth wife is our body. No matter how much time and effort we lavish in making it look good, it will leave us when we die. Our third wife, our possessions, status, wealth. When we die, they go to all the others. The second wife is our family and friends. No matter how close they had been to us when we were alive, the furthest they can stay by us is up to the grave. The first wife is, in fact, our soul, often neglected in our pursuit of material wealth and sensual pleasures. And guess what? It's actually the only thing that follows us wherever we go. Perhaps it's a good idea to cultivate and strengthen it now, rather than wait until we're on our deathbed to lament. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Ani, you did it again. Oh, I loved it. You did it. I'm thinking to myself, what is this girl talking about? Four wives. Do I need to run a disclaimer at the end? Don't try this at home. We're talking about different faiths, Muslims, about the Mormons. All of a sudden, you hit us with, we all have four wives. And I go, okay, there's a metaphor in there somewhere. Beautiful, beautiful. I loved it. Thank you so much for sharing that that story and that message with us. Here's Susie now with her message for today.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazquez, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on six continents. The next step is entering homes and communities, proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for the reminder. You know, every week Susie tells you how important it is to get involved. I think one of the easiest ways to get involved is really to forward these links, to share the news, to share this message. Tell people about it. If you've been blessed by it, tell others that you've been blessed by it. Tell others that here's something that you need to listen to. Everywhere we go, whether it was in Milwaukee, whether it was last month with our friends down in Australia, whether it's our friends in Argentina, in Peru, or our friends listening over in Armenia, everywhere, people are responding by saying, it's about time. You know, we need this. We need the Armenian church to talk about things that are important, that are relevant in my life. I mean, you look around you, you've got killings every day in some act of war somewhere on this planet. You've got killings happening right in your neighborhood because of the hatred, because of the fears, because of the disgust that we have and the lack of respect for life. Well, where is that all going to begin? It begins with our understanding of who we are and how we function within the world. What is our relationship with God and therefore our relationship with one another? And there's a lot of things that we're going to be doing in the next several months. God's giving us this opportunity, and I need you to pray about it. I need you to pray and make it an important prayer. Make it a priority prayer. Every day to pray for this ministry called Epostle, that we are doing evangelical work, apostolic evangelism. In other words, not just talking about the Bible, but talking about the apostolic tradition that came to us by Thaddeus and Bartholomew. That came to us by all of the apostles. That's right. All of the apostles contributed, and they just didn't leave it there. They ordained the next generation to continue the apostolic line. And so you have the universal church. You have the church that is made up of people that understood what Christ was about. Not reading about him in a textbook, in a Bible, but understood they were with Christ all the time. And yes, we have that sacred literature. We have the Bible, the New Testament, the breath of God that is telling us what Jesus was all about. And there it is. There's definitely the written tradition over there. But the oral tradition, the action tradition, which we call here at Armadoxy, that we are called to action, that we need to extend our hands to one another, that faith is not something that you take to heart, but it's something that you act upon. It makes your life better. It makes your life different. It changes you. It changes the others that you touch. Listen, I had a beautiful time being in Wisconsin. It gave me an opportunity to really meet with some people that were making difference in their own communities. I thank Father Nodig for the opportunity to be able to share some words in their sanctuary. That sermon, I believe, Susie, when is it? Yeah, okay. Susie says that it'll be up on the net this weekend, so you could tune into that. We'll try to get an early link to it and put it on our show notes. But it's an opportunity, really, for us to see how extensive this ministry can be with your participation, but most of all, with God's blessings. Let's never forget, it's His ministry. He is the one who's in charge, and He is the one who drives us. Keep that in the focus of your prayers. Keep this ministry in your prayers always. Okay, I think that's going to do it for us today. Like I said, I've been traveling. We've got a parish over here and hasn't been tended to in several days. I've got to get back to the grind. Yes, it is a grind. Yeah, one day we'll talk about that, okay? I promise we'll talk about it. We're looking forward to a great weekend this weekend. Looking forward to meeting our friend, our listener, and our supporter, Armin. We're going to be meeting with him for dinner. He won that in an auction. Auction item was to have dinner with the Epostle crew. So all of us, the whole gang, is going to be there this Sunday when we meet, and hopefully we can do some broadcasting from that dinner table. If not, get ready. Next week, I'm going to tell you all about that, because I'm sure it's going to be a fun thing, something to share, and something that we're all going to delight in. Hey, it's been a pleasure doing today's show. I want to get you involved with us throughout the week. You know, we are at epostle.net. That's really easy to remember. It's apostle with an E. It's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Check out all of the programming that takes place over there. Remember, Linda Zadoyan has the Compass program. We have some archives of all of our shows. We have sermons that are on the net. We have In Step with Christ, a weekly video broadcast. All kinds of stuff that you can plug into. And of course, join us at the mothership in issues.org. And of course, it goes without saying, we are on Facebook as well as Twitter. We're about everywhere that electronic ministries should be, except perhaps we're not on electronic bulletin boards anymore. Well, we did our time. Okay, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank the wonderful people that we met in Wisconsin, especially the parishioners at St. John the Baptist Armenian Church in Greenfield, their wonderful pastor, Father Nodig Kutelian, who also shared his ideas and was part of today's show. Father Nodig, there is a song that the Muppets sing. There's not a word yet for old friends that just met. I felt that here's a brother that I just met and really felt very close in that community and with my spiritual brother. I want to thank all of you for your prayers and for the wonderful crew who put this together. That is Susie, our producer, for Ani with her wonderful 4Y bubbles, for Vahe on our website. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step. Thank you.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your broadcast out!